You've been a meditator for many years, or maybe you're just starting out. But either way, keeping your focus is still the number one challenge. I've been working on it for years, and I've got a few tips I want to share with you that has helped me get the focus where it needs to be. Let's get into it.
Right now on Higher Journeys with Alexis Brooks.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Commentary, a special segment of Higher Journeys with Alexis Brooks. Glad you've joined me today. You know, the topic of meditation, particularly in these parts, never gets old, right? Because it's something that is age old. It's something that we've been doing for a long time in a ton of different ways. There are so many different protocols as to how to do meditation. But the number one thing, the number one complaint that everyone still has, particularly in these challenging days and times, is keeping out distraction. Well, I have five, what I would call effective, because I've used them and they have worked, effective techniques to quell the distraction, to quell the distraction. Well, you know, when it comes to distraction, you guys, I have never seen a time when the distraction has been so high. I mean, we're always, people are talking about how attention spans have gone down exponentially, and they have. I'm actually thinking of I don't know if it was an article or something that said that the average attention span right now is actually less than that of a goldfish. Now, I don't know how they measure the attention of a goldfish, but the bottom line is it's pretty bad. It's pretty low. And so even with the best of us, even those of us that consider ourselves a practitioner of mindfulness, it is still increasingly difficult. I want to read a quote that I recently stumbled upon by an unnamed monk, practicing monk, who wrote the following. This person said, "Distraction is like a parasite to the mind. If you don't kill your distraction, distraction will kill your dreams." Well, I know that meditation with a focus is a dream of a lot of people that many are challenged to achieve. And so what do we do about it? Before we get into the techniques, I want to just say something about distraction and where we are right now. And I mean, I'm obviously preaching to the choir, but you guys know that in the times that we're living in and all of the things, including and especially the thing that you're participating in right now called technology, we are every day more and more challenged to focus on anything, whether we're meditating or we're in a full beta state. It's difficult. I find myself, someone who I've always thought of myself as a very focused person. My mind is going here. My mind is going there. Not just, you know, in meditative practice, and I really have to pull myself in. I'm going to talk about these techniques momentarily, but even in trying to go to sleep, I mean, it's just becoming an increased challenge. We're dealing with some external sources, let's just say, some influences that I think perhaps are working on keeping us distracted for a reason. Again, I'm preaching to the choir, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I heard someone recently use the term, we need to do a dopamine detox, a dopamine detox. I actually did not bring my phone in here, and I'm glad I didn't. I was going to hold it up and show you, toss it to the side, because that too is obviously adding to our decreased attention spans. I think that we need to talk about some things that we can do to develop our methods for focus. Let's just talk about some of the things that, as a matter of fact, I did a poll just recently, just earlier today, to find out what are the top reasons why you are loath to keep your focus. No surprise, mind chatter is number one. Mind chatter is number one. Mind chatter is something that I am constantly dealing with, particularly with the to-do list of a content creator and a solopreneur. You can only imagine. You don't have to. I'm sure you're going through it yourself, all that we have on our plates, literally, to tackle in any given day. Multitasking is something that has been promoted, obviously, in the mainstream for a long time. It is good to be a multitasker. I beg to differ. I'm about focus. If you can, you know, as they say, as my mom used to say, a jack of all trades is a master of none. So still, with the challenge of needing to do multiple tasks in one day, when you're sitting down to meditate, invariably those tasks are going to come up in your mind. And so here's something that I have learned to do. We're going to call this technique number one. What I literally do is allow the thought, because it's going to come anyway, let it come in. But rather than be distracted by the thought, I simply observe it. I zoom out a little bit. I observe it. And then I toss it into my imaginary bowl or box to my right. Now, this is something that was shared with me by actually a couple of people in different variations, but I've tried some of these variations myself. I find it may actually be a physical box or a bowl. Sometimes I'll have my singing bowl off to the side. And what I do is after I am in the meditation and the moment a thought comes in, I imagine my hand pulling the thought out of my head and simply tossing it into the bowl, pulling it out of my head and tossing it into a bowl. You know, there's a Buddhist meditative practice called Zazen. Zazen. It's a form of Zen meditation, of course. Za meaning sitting and Zen, which means meditation. And one of the tenets of Zazen meditation goes as follows. When the thoughts come in, think of them as clouds. You're looking up at the sky and you're seeing clouds coming in, but they are never stationary. They're always in motion. And so are our thoughts. Now, they may be replaced by other clouds, but by being the observer versus becoming the thought or becoming tethered to the thought, you simply take the thought, you observe it, and then you watch it move from one position to another. In other words, the cloud is coming in, and then it will move out of your view, and then it may be replaced by another cloud, but it will move out of your view. That process in and of itself, believe it or not, guys, is a point of focus. In other words, rather than fighting the thought, getting entrenched in the thought, simply observe the thought, a thought form. Think of the cloud, as a matter of fact, as a thought form. And as it is moving, you're simply becoming focused on watching it go in your view and out of your view. Now, this is a slightly different approach than taking the thought with your imaginary hand and putting it in the bowl. But the goal is to not fight the thought. Allow the thought to come in because it's going to come in. You can actually pay homage to your thought and say, listen, I know you're important, but this is not the time. The time is to meditate. And this is what I'm doing right now. And just detach from getting frustrated about it because the thoughts are going to come in. They're always going to come in. As a matter of fact, when I'm meditating, if I can grab 10 seconds, maybe even less, of no thought, I consider that a success. And so don't fight the thought. Don't fight the thought. Use the method of either moving it into your imaginary bowl, or maybe it's a bowl sitting on your table, or simply observing it as the Zazen approach. This is just part of that approach, says should be done. I think that's definitely worth noting. Let's get into technique number two. This is something that I came up with, kind of just happened upon in the process of having eyes closed, which is really just one approach. Some people advocate open eye meditation. We can talk about that another time. But I call this the closed eye image, closed eyes image. What I do typically when I am about to go into a meditation or when I'm in the meditation and going deeper is I allow an image to emerge in front of me. It could be a geometric shape. It could be sometimes it can be a little bit of a shadowy or a cloud type of formation, even an orb. Some of these things will emerge on their own. They have for me. And I will simply, through closed eyes, focus on whatever emerges for me. This is a very, very interesting thing. And I don't know if this has happened to you, but oftentimes when you find yourself going into a deeper brainwave state, shapes and patterns will emerge on their own. In fact, in a workshop that I've done a couple of times, and I've coached clients through this, a protocol in which you allow whatever, and it may be intelligent, come through into your purview, if you will, even with closed eyes. So this is something that I advocate for sure. And I think that Some people use mantras. I was trained in transcendental meditation at the age of 13, but I had the inclination to toss the mantra immediately and start working on some of my own methods. And this is one, many years later, that has been helpful to me. And invariably, it has quelled the distraction, you know. So I definitely would recommend doing that. Number three, background noise. If you have the luxury of putting yourself in your sacred space and it's soundproofed, it's a soundproof room and it's quiet, great. But oftentimes we just don't have that luxury. You may be hearing sounds, you know, a lawnmower outside or a dog barking or whatever the case may be, or it could be ear buzzing, ear ringing. Remember, we just talked about that on the last conscious commentary. I'm one that has it, and perhaps you do too. But what I have learned to do is whatever the sound or the destructive noise may be, rather than try to shut it out, I make it a point of focus. Whatever it is that, if it's an object that we're looking at, a thought that we're observing motion or an image through closed eyes, we can actually transmute the distraction into the focus, transmute, change it, alchemize it. It's really kind of psychological, but I think it can be done. So background noise or ear ringing, of which I have, by the way, right now, just a little bit. Yesterday was loud. Today it's a little bit better. But what I will do if I'm meditating on a day where the buzzing is loud, I will simply tune in to it. I will tune into it. By the way, I would love for you to go back and watch the not only the last conscious commentary that we did, but also my interview with Mary Rodwell, where we brought in the idea of meditation to really kind of come into an understanding of what that buzzing may be about, if it's something beyond external forces, let's just say. So I invite you to watch that video. Speaking of which, I just published an article over on higherjourneys.com. I invite you to go over and check it out, called Exploring the Enigma of Ear Ringing and Light Language, where I go even deeper into that whole process of what that is and what it could mean. Are we being upgraded? What is it all about? So I encourage you to go over there and check that out. Now, let's get into technique number four, and I call it focusing on different body parts, head to toe. What you simply do, and this is obviously an imaginary process, is you imagine yourself putting your hand on top of your head and feeling the impression, almost as if somebody is tapping on top of your head, but you're not actually doing it. You are imagining a sensation of touch on the top of your head, and you focus all of your attention there. And then you move to perhaps your earlobes, pressing on your earlobes, your chin. And again, you're not actually putting your hand on these areas. You're simply imagining, to the point where you can actually feel, you're simulating the feeling of that touch all the way down to the tip. Well, I guess you could do the tips of your toes, shoulder, elbows, hands, gripping your hands, hands on your lap, hands on your knees, to your legs, all the way to your toes. You would be surprised, if you can keep your focus on that, how that can really streamline and get you into a deeper meditative state, streamline your attention and get you into a deeper meditative state. That has worked for me. I've also recommended this to several of my coaching clients, and it's been very effective for them. So I would say that that is a technique that you should try. Technique number five, partially open or closed eyes. We talked a few minutes ago about the open eye approach to meditation, which I think can be helpful. I think it depends on your taste and what you've worked on and what works for you. But I find that meditating with eyes just ever so slightly open, where you're seeing a little bit of the light in the room, to whatever extent, even candlelight, but also you have an awareness of the closed eyes. Remember, we talked a minute ago about imagining images and patterns coming forward with closed eyes. I have been able to maintain a focus with partially open eyes where I'm seeing just a sliver of light, but I'm also still able to see, if you will, whatever is emerging with the portion of my eyes that are closed. It's a very, very powerful technique, and it can be a little bit difficult to explain in words. You have to kind of feel it, but it's something where you're bringing about an equilibrium with the conscious awake state and the altered consciousness state, if you will, the beta state and the alpha state, where you're blending the two. And it becomes almost like a challenge when you keep your eyes just partially, I'm going to try to show you here, just partially open, where I can just barely see the camera in front of me, but I am also very focused on the fact that my eyes are closed and maybe even starting to see some of these images emerge. I'd like you to try that. Now, we've talked about the five techniques, but here's something, speaking of eyes, I think when we get into a meditation, obviously the de facto, you know, approach is to shut your eyes, right? And when you're done with the meditation, you open your eyes. But I intuitively many years ago felt that it should not be done that way. And here's why. Think of going from the sleep state. Let's say you're in a deep slumber. The alarm goes off, loud, very obnoxious sound, and you're startled awake. That's a very unnatural process, and it's something that I never have resonated with. And so, first of all, I don't use an alarm clock, but think of it that way when you're meditating. If you are sitting down, you're getting yourself ready, you're in your space, and all of a sudden, all you do is this. You just close your eyes. And then you're expected to get into an alpha state like that. Now, obviously, there are certain other things that can put you in an alpha state, like watching TV where your eyes are open. But what I am saying is that I call this the ease in method, where you sit down and rather than just shut your eyes, you find an object of focus and you very, very slowly ease into closing your eyes until they are fully shut. Now, if you're going to do technique number five, which is the open eye or partially open eye or partially closed eye method, you would simply start out with looking straight ahead and then just bringing your eyes down very slowly until they're just ever so slightly open and kept there. There's something very powerful about some of these very subtle things that we can do to shift our approach in meditation that will not only keep our focus where we want it to be, which could be very no focus, but deepen the whole experience. And I have found that all of these techniques have been very valuable for me, particularly easing into the meditation. And the same would go for when you're coming out of the meditation. You don't just open your eyes, start yourself back to the beta state or startle yourself back to the beta state. You want to ease out of it as well. So you very, very slowly open your eyes, just like you're easing in. So I hope these techniques were helpful for you. As always, I would love to hear what you have to say about your own meditative experience and what you have done to make your experience more powerful, more impactful, more transformational. And as always, if you are trying any of these things that I'm suggesting, I would love to hear from you. So until next time, we will talk to you soon. Have a great day.